You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene, man. We're here back for the New Year's. We're a little short-handed today, little brother Ray. Will out today, so it's just me here. Me and Wally are holding it down. Man, Wally, how was your New Year's?
It was good, man. Went to church with my little sister, so it was always good spending time with my little one. And also, you know, our basketball season starting this Saturday. Boys and girls, Green Belt, 13 under. Our road to the championship starts Saturday.
Path to glory, or is
you know it, man. It's going to be 24-7.
We're going to play.
We don't know yet. Schedule hasn't come out.
You know it. Man, I don't know. My New Year started off pretty sleepy because, I don't know, I waited up like 8 seconds before the ball dropped and I woke up. So I woke my wife up and told her Happy New Year and we went back to sleep. New Year's doesn't count anymore when you get old.
Yeah, overrated commodity.
But, man, since we got a New Year's 2011, man, any predictions for the New Year's in sports?
Let's see. What's my prediction in sports, man? My prediction is that this year, 2011 can't get any worse than Washington Redskins. I feel that, you know, I think we'll get back to a certain level of professionalism. That's all I can say. Hopefully.
That's a hopeful prediction.
Yes, it is.
My prediction for 2011 is I'm going to win the basketball tournament pool in March and April. Right now I'm on a roll in fantasy sports, so I'm going to try to keep it going. But as far as on a sports tip, man, my prediction for 2011, man, I got upsets happening.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start off with the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be upset in the Super Bowl.
What's the upset?
The upset is
Seattle Seahawks going to the Super Bowl?
I got, like, either the two lowest seeds from
East Side?
The NFC beating the
number okay.
So if the Patriots go to the Super Bowl, I got to be an upset.
Okay, okay.
I'm going to put that out there right now. I got the Seahawks or Green Bay, whoever whatever the lowest seed is, I got them upset.
All right, if I'm going that level, this is my shocker, and it will be on the show. It will be on another segment, but I have the Seahawks shocking the world and beating the Saints. You heard it here, too, first.
I don't really care. Drew Brees, you got me my But we about to hop into that pregame. Orioles pitcher Alfredo Simon.
Simone. That's not, well, don't worry. You know, he has a lot of time to think of his name anyway.
Turns himself in the Dominican Republic for killing of, I believe, a 17-year-old.
Yeah. It gets thorough in Dominican. It gets thorough out there.
History of that. So,
what happened? Disease. Like you said earlier before this show, you said, was it Ugar Urbina, I think. That's what his name was. Yeah. He had the same situation.
I mean, you see that a lot as far as, with athletes from particularly in Spanish-speaking countries, once they go back for the offseason, a lot of drama happens. I mean, this is proven in
just like around here, they get hood.
In other news in the pregame, we got Orioles signed first baseman Derek Lee. What you think about the signing?
Oh, man, it was a good signing, man. He plays great. He's a gold glove first baseman, which we do need. Basically, the whole infield is new other than Brian Roberts.
A great signing. We'll see what happens. Cats edge Pittsburgh in a Winter Classic. Tell us about that, Wally.
Yeah, it was a hard fought game. Honestly, when I watched the first period, the Penguins were dominating the game. I think they had more shots on goal. Eventually, you know, Mike Knuble scored the tying goal to tie it 1 in the second period. And after that, man, momentum started going to Caps way, especially when it started raining. For some strange reason, when it started raining, they started playing better. And I think that. And not to just put that on, and we all know that Fear had two goals to give him the lead anyway and give him the win. But I think a big thing is that Varlamov, the goalie, played well. I think he stopped 32, he had 32 saves and, you know, only gave up that one goal. So I think the Caps, in terms of that victory, was a big victory for him.
And this was a high rating Winter Classic compared to the ones in the past. I mean, you think that was because of the rivalry between the Caps, or was it just maybe from last season, the NHL building up momentum of just being, you know, people starting to watch. Even I'm starting to watch hockey a little bit more from last year.
Yeah, me too. I stopped watching hockey. I used to watch hockey back in the day, but I'm not getting to that. But in terms of Winter Classic, I think it's definitely because of the Capitals in Pittsburgh. That's one of the biggest rivalries that's the biggest rivalry of all of hockey. Let's just be real. You got two superstars. Ovechkin and Crosby, who don't like each other.
Pretty much the equivalent of, I guess you want to say, Kobe and LeBron.
Kobe, LeBron, or even let's go back, even the heyday, Bird and Magic.
I would say Bird and Magic, even better. I mean, two guys in the prime with two dominant teams.
Because they were like this, in terms of Bird and Magic, when they got there, they were there to save the league of the NBA. Crosby and Ovechkin, the league was done. They got kicked off at ESPN. They needed something. These two have now at least brought back hockey to respectability in terms of being watched.
Because even with the 24/7 that was going on with HBO, I mean, even I watched it. because the build-up was just so much, and you couldn't resist to watch it. And, man, I love the Capitals coach, man. He says how whatever he wants, yeah. curses left and right.
Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the Rex Ryan of hockey, I guess. But, I mean, I think it really brought that enthusiasm up to watch the game. And hopefully this it's a pickup for the cap season right now.
Yeah, hopefully it does. I think that now they see that they have a goaltender in Vermalov that can – That can play in big games. He did it in the playoffs a couple years ago against the Penguins in the playoffs, and he did it again. I mean, in Winter Classic, against the Penguins again for all to see. So if they can now stop switching goalies and just stick with him, they should be okay in terms of making that run to the Stanley Cup, which we need in D.C.
Yeah, they needed some type of trophy to put up on the mantle. But another news we got going on: Manny Pacquiao has agreed to fight Shane Mosley on May 7th. I don't even know where to even go with this fight. I don't even know if I want to order. We might have to watch it.
Well, somebody, matter of fact, you know, Solomon Tachyon on Facebook, one of our, I want to say our listeners out there, he says that he doesn't see what Sugar Shane Mosley has done to earn a fight with Pacquiao, excuse me. And he's basically saying, like, you know, Mosley's last fight was against the contender Sergio Moore, and he got a draw.
You know what this fight is like to me? It's like wrestling back in the day when, like, you had, like, Hulk Hogan or the Ultimate Warrior, whoever, used to fight, like, some no-name dude coming to ring. Like, you know, some dude that looked like he's, you know, he's a trash man. Yeah. Or, you know, the school janitor. He comes in there and he pretty much beats him up. You know, he gives him, like, a round, a little bit, a few seconds, gets some fame, and he just takes him out. I mean, this is how the fight is to me. It's like, man, Shane Mosley's like some no-name guy. They just needed somebody to fight back out and just occupy time.
That's messed up. You're saying he's like on Superstars Wrestlers. He's not in pay-per-view.
Yeah, he's like, you know.
Well, I mean,
he's like boxing on home team sports back in the day.
I mean, I'll say this. He is a draw. It was in the past or whatever. He's not a big draw like Mayweather or anybody like that, or even like a Cotto to me, but he's a draw. And Pacquiao wants to make, right now, Pacquiao needs to do something to hold his time till Mayweather and him can agree on something.
I mean, this Mayweather, I mean, are they ever really going to fight?
I don't know anymore. At first I thought that it had to happen because these are two of the best boxers in the same class. And, now that, I mean, it's like, for every year it seems like there's an excuse for them not to fight. It's either, okay, he might be on steroids, this, that, the other, whatever.
Yeah, I think Floyd got, like, baby mama drama.
Yeah, or you know what I mean? So it just seems like there's an excuse every time. And it comes from both camps. It's not just Pacquiao. It's not just Mayweather. It's from both camps.
I think if they don't fight by the end of 2011, they're never going to fight.
It would be a shame, man. It would be like Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones back in the day, and we all want to see
20 years later.
Exactly.
Nobody even knew they fought. But we about to hop into some college basketball right now. Man, what's going on with the Hoyas, man? They got upset last night. What happened?
Man, first off, let me, the Hoyas kind of annoyed me. I won't even lie. I mean, Ray and, matter of fact, West Coast Steelers fan on the show, and which the show I'm talking about is the Sports Crib show, which you can catch me and Ray every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. The website to see it is is www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steelers fan. Anyway, yeah, man, the Hoyas played terrible, and according to Ray and, Ray and West Coast Steelers fan, they said the Hoyas played soft against Notre Dame, which we did lose that game, and we lost to St. John's playing soft. It seems like in terms of the Hoyas, if the Big Three if they don't play well, we're going to lose. And I'm talking about the Big Three. I'm talking about Clark, Freeman, and Wright. I think against St. John's, they went 6-for-25 from the field, period.
They need more of their role players to step up. I mean, this is something that, I mean, you don't want to compare this team to that team that went to the Final Four a few years back. But on that team, you saw when role players, I mean, when it was time for role players to step up, they stepped up. I mean, if it's rebounding or just, you know, the dirty work. I mean, they didn't just count on Jeff Green and the big guy.
But yeah, that team, you know, the team you're referring to, that team had Doc Rivers' son who played a role on defense. I mean, they had so many good role players, man, and it's like, on this team, those role players don't exist. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's a hard time right now for Georgetown, but they are led by seniors, and we all know seniors can lead a team down the stretch, and hopefully they can do that. But I mean, in terms, if you want to get any Georgetown information, please check out www.glidehoyas.blogspot.com.
Another local college basketball, Maryland, they're playing Colgate tonight. I think that should pretty much be a pretty easy matchup for them tonight. But this weekend, they got Duke. How you see that playing out there when
they're playing at Duke? I don't see them winning, but I'll give them, this is the only chance they have to meet Maryland's strength in terms of their best player is Jordan Williams. And that's Duke's weakness is playing against a big who's got low post ability.
Who's physical.
Exactly. Even though they lost to Boston College, Maryland, even though they lost to Boston College at College Park, Jordan Williams had 27 points and 13 rebounds. So the man's still balling. And he's going to go to Cameron. And hopefully if he plays his role, he can keep Maryland in the game. And all you want to do going into Cameron is to be in the game.
As long as he can get his boys and keep, you know, at least boys and show a physical presence down low, they should be able to at least stay in the game, like you were saying. Other news, man, UConn girls lost. The streak ends at 90. They lost to Stanford, which is pretty much a rematch in the national championship game last year. What's your thoughts on the game? What's your thoughts on UConn?
I think it was a good loss for UConn. I think that women's basketball needed it. I'm sorry. You don't want people like me who don't know a lot about women's basketball, who don't watch it all the time. All I know is UConn and Tennessee, in the grand scheme of things, is good for a person like me to say, okay, they can lose. They're not like the A team playing the B team of basketball. You know what I mean? And when I look at UConn, they're like the A team. They're the A-plus team. And it's good to see Stanford and be like, okay, Stanford's good. All I know is like Baylor, because the girl can dunk, and they play UConn tough. And now you're seeing Stanford, who historically has had a good female basketball team regardless anyway. So, I mean, I'm glad to see they lost.
I agree with you. I think that the more UConn dominated, the less attention other probably quality of good teams are going to get, and everyone's just going to talk about UConn. At the same time, I'd rather see them win national championship games than just keep some streak going, because at the end of the day, okay, you keep winning games, you go to the national championship game and lose.
Yeah.
You're going to remember, oh, you should have just won that national championship game. But, I mean, I don't think this hurts them. I mean, 90 games in a row, that's a long time. I mean, that's something you should be proud of. And I don't see why they're not going to win a national championship game this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the talent. Maya Moore is probably going to go down in history as the best women college basketball player ever on the race she's going right now. So, I mean, he does what he does.
They're the U of women's basketball. I'm
right
sorry.
Now, yeah.
They're the U. They put out big-time talent. You know what I mean? So, all praise to UConn.
In other news that was happening in college basketball, I mean, it's probably a couple weeks old right now, but I wanted to touch on it because we didn't get a chance over the last episode, our roundtable discussion. It's the teammates at Mississippi State that were fighting in the stands. And you know what? As a person that's played on teams and who has fought teammates, I had no problem with what they did in the stands. I mean, I had no problem with it. It ain't like they did it during the game.
People are people. Obviously, he said something to irk them, and they started fighting. But in all seriousness, though, I don't know the name of the individual, but...
It was Ronaldo Sidney.
Yeah, Sidney. He's always had issues.
Yeah, he's had
and issues. You know what? They had issues. They had people were worried about him before he got into college. And you know what? The people that were worried about him are right, and we're right. So, I mean, he has to mature up, honestly. I mean, it's time for him to mature up. You don't want to have – this is the only I'm talking to him as a man. You don't want to have that image and prove people right and saying that you're a knucklehead. You don't want to have that image. You want to show people that you can be mature and you can beat the odds and be somebody positive and be somebody trying to do better in their future. And hopefully he can do that and, you know, he was a highly touted kid coming out of high school to college. Hopefully he can go to pros and do something after this whole terrible ordeal.
I think right now the main issue everybody probably want to know is what they was arguing about.
Probably a girl.
Yeah, a girl. That's the first thing everyone says. Somebody did somebody with something with somebody's girl.
Yeah.
Or they said something about somebody's mama.
Yeah.
But what I got a kick out of most about them two fighting was they were roommates through the whole trip.
For real? I know that.
They were roommates their whole trip because they've been playing a few holiday tournaments since, you know, pretty much school's on break. They've been playing in a couple holidays. They've been roommates the whole time.
And they was wrecking?
And they were wrecking. As a matter of fact, they went down to watch this game because they were bored sitting in the room. And they went down there and started.
Gotta be over a girl. I'm sorry. Can't be with somebody's mom.
Maybe they have a relationship going on. Who knows? I mean, hey. I'm just throwing this out there.
It could be the game.
Hey.
It could be the game.
Put you to bed, Lee. Speaking of the game, you can check it out next week on BET.
Yeah, new episodes, baby.
But we about to hop into a commercial break. We get back. We're going to talk them good old skins.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge, when we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who stepped forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Thing. Hey, Wally, let me tell you how to reach
you. Well, you all can reach us at www.wallyo.podbean.com. Please email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can search us on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Thing.
Man, the skin season wrapped up this past weekend, losing to the Giants. What you think of the game? Did you watch the game?
Barely. What was I doing during the game? Let's see. I'm just coming back from a matter of fact. We were getting ready to get my sister ready, so I didn't get a chance to actually. We took her back to Philly, so I get a chance to watch the whole game or anything like that. But I did see I was listening to it on the radio, and I did hear that Rex Grossman overthrew Santana Moss and he was wide open. But other than that, that was about it. But I mean, it's the end to a disappointing season.
Yeah, pretty much an end the game, the season kind of game.
Yeah.
They kept it close, which is, that's the best thing you say about it.
And I just want to say this one little thing. For all fans of other teams, such as the Giants and the Cowboys, not you, Fish, because I know you're a respectable fan, but let's just be real. All of us didn't make the playoffs. So we shouldn't be happy that, one of each other finished this with that and the other. You should measure your team on playoffs and championships and things of that sort.
If my team ain't go to the playoffs, I'd rather lose all my games.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just be real. That's all. That's all I had to say. That's all I wanted to say.
That's just how I feel as far as,
you the same way I feel.
I
same way.
For the Cowboys to lose against Philly and a couple other games, I'd rather have a top 3
exactly.
pick than some, regular mediocre records. Yeah, I wanted the Cowboys to win, but.
Yeah, we always wanted.
Top 5 pick.
Yeah, you always ask when you watch the game, you want your team to win, but, in all honesty, you'd be like, nah, you'd rather, if they lost, it wouldn't bother you.
Yeah. I mean, it's either, what, you're first, you're last.
Exactly.
But as far as Grossman's play against the Giants, I think it was typical Rex Grossman game. He's going to throw yards and he's going to give you turnovers. Interceptions, fumbles, however they may come with sexy Rex. It's a typical Rex Grossman. Rex Grossman is going to air it out. He's going to wing it as much as he can, but, he's going to give you what he always gives you. He's going to give you turnovers.
Yeah.
And, if that's the type of quarterback you want to have, that's what you're going to get out of him.
Well, he knows the system, according to Kyle Shanahan. So that's all we Redskins fans can bank on is that he knows the system. And, we'll be seeing him because he's cheap and he'll be the Redskins quarterback next year.
Sexy Rex. But my thing about with them playing Rex the whole game against the Giants, I thought maybe eventually they may put Beck in. At least get him some snaps. So, because we all heard from Shanahan about how he wants to evaluate the players, but where was John Beck during this whole process?
Shanahan is a what? A liar.
We'll see.
John Beck sucks. We saw him in Miami. He sucked in Miami. Saw him in preseason. My opinion didn't change. In Baltimore, I don't think I ever seen him on the field, even in preseason.
Yeah,
so
he got traded for a guy that got cut.
Yeah, so all I could say is, in terms of Beck, when I saw him preseason, I was not impressed. Yeah.
But, of course, with Sexy Rex, he's tied to Shanahan and Shanahan's future in D.C. How do you think that's going to go with Shanahan?
Well, we had some Twitter comments about that. Dropping bombs believes Shanahan is not the right fit for this team due to how his ego and how he alienates players. And there's a different opinion in terms of skin tones, that's his name. He states that the players love playing for Shanahan, and that's why, he should stay. Skin Tone has a blog. Just check it out. It's www.broodinburgundy.com. And it's a Redskins blog.
Let me ask you this question, though. If Shanahan's unsuccessful next year, you think he's going to stick around?
Ooh, that's a good question. Hopefully not. As a skin fan, I hope he doesn't. But, Daniel Snyder did not like how things were handled this year. So Shanahan has told Snyder and told the Redskins fans that he has a plan. This is a plan, according to him. It wasn't to win this year, but I swore from his pickups and his transactions that he was trying to win this year. That's why we played Joey Galloway, but I could be wrong. But according to Shanahan, it's a plan. So if he doesn't see anything, if they're not better than 6-10, if they're 5-11 or 6-10, I don't think he'll be here.
if they're not going to the playoffs next year, I think it's time to get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's not like this team doesn't have at least enough talent to get to the playoffs or even compete more in the division, because it's not really a major difference. I mean, I think all teams in the division are good, but it's not like it's a major difference between the Redskins who finished last and the Eagles who finished first. It's not a major difference because the Redskins beat the Eagles.
That's true.
I mean, everyone pretty much beat each other throughout the season.
Yeah, that's true.
Anybody throughout this whole division. So I think at least if he has to get at least – if he gets the 9-7, maybe, okay, miss the playoffs, okay, that's acceptable.
Uh-huh.
But anything as far as those 5-11, 6-10 seasons – it's not really going to happen. But, I mean, what's your thoughts on the seasons? I mean, this wraps up a season. They're 6-10. They finished last in the division.
It was a disappointing season, honestly. It was a very disappointing season, especially how we started. We beat the Cowboys on opening night. That was a big win at the fan. I was excited because, you know, not knowing what the Cowboys were going to be involved to down the line. But, you know, we beat the Cowboys, we beat the Eagles when everybody thought we were going to lose to the Eagles. The Texans, we competed with the Texans at the time. It looked like a decent team. So I thought the season has been disappointing, especially how it started.
I think, yeah, the way the Skins started off the season, they started off pretty good. I mean, they were at one point a couple games over 500?
Yeah, exactly.
And then to finish, you know, 4 games under 500, it shows you know, what happened during the season, particularly on the tail end of it. And I think a lot of chaos as far as you had the Albert Haynesworth situation.
Self-made.
You had the McNabb situation.
Self-made.
You had the same situation as far as, he didn't really bring in any guys as far as players. He brought in Joey Galloway, so he couldn't even make the season. You got rid of him. Then you start picking up guys off of, you know, the street who became pretty much starters, or guys who were just at the end of the bench who became starters. So, I mean, I think right now it was pretty much, I wouldn't say it was a total loss of a season, because you got a chance to see guys like Ryan Terang get in the game. You know, Anthony Armstrong. I mean, guys,
I know.
At least you got an idea where they can at least.
I mean, you know. We'll get to that.
Santana had you can see when you throw the ball to Santana and Cooley, what they can do. You got an idea of what Anthony Armstrong, he can do. He can at least contribute to a team. He's better than what Joey Galloway and the rest of these guys he was trying to bring in. So, I mean, they can at least take something from that.
Speaking of Santana. I'm still not Santana, excuse me. Speaking of Chris Cooley, this is off the topic, but it's the same topic, a little off the board. Michael Wilbon. You know who Michael Wilbon is, right?
We know Wilbon, man.
You know what Michael Wilbon I'm talking about?
I Wilbon. He's the show Wilbon.
Yeah, okay. This dude was like, he would trade Chris Cooley, and another player to try to get Luck, and Albert Haynesworth to try to get Luck. He would trade Chris Cooley over like a Fred Davis. The reason why he said he trade Chris Cooley is that he's on the downfall of his career. I'm like, if they really wanted to get a tight end and Chris Cooley's on the downfall of his career, wouldn't they want Davis? Though Chris Cooley is not, Davis isn't even close to Chris Cooley. But I'm just saying though, wouldn't they want Davis if that was the case?
Whatever stupid ass person
get a
tight end
for a round, exactly.
Even does, I don't hey, even want to say hey, anything, but hey, I don't hey. Think Chris Cooley's on the down end. I think he's pretty much in the prime of his career.
Well, let's get back to on topic, man. My bad.
Free agency in the draft for the Skins. They got the number 10 pick in the draft. I mean, where you see him going this year in the draft, or maybe in the free agency?
Well, I'll say free agency. I think they should be, these are the individuals they should be looking at. D'Angelo Williams from Carolina. I think they should be looking at Alan Branch. He's a free agent. We all know Alan Branch is. Me and Fish know Alan Branch. He can play nose tackle. I think in terms of right tackle, they should get Jared Gaither. They should go after him. And they should go after, David Bass, guard center, San Francisco.
Wow, man. I think personally, for the Redskins, as far as free agency, I would say maybe get a lot more proven veterans, but not veterans on the tail end of the career, but guys that can at least come in and try to start or compete. Mm-hmm. And as far as the draft, I think the first place you want to start building up is on the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of youth there. I mean, the only youth you have your left tackle in place, but right now you need to at least get you need to go in them third and fourth rounders and find them guards.
And that's the problem, man. You said third and fourth.
But we don't really belong to the Eagles.
Yeah, so this is the thing. Like, in terms of draft picks, I looked at the draft. I looked at the players who will probably be coming out. I looked at, you know, Alabama's D tackle, Marcel Darius. I thought, you know, I was thinking like, okay, he'd be a good pickup. if we don't have Haynesworth, we need a D tackle.
Well, he's more of a
traditional 4-3 D tackle.
4-3 D tackle. I like the big dude y'all had playing against the Giants.
O'Brien.
I mean, he's what you want.
He's a body. That's why I want Allen Branch.
I mean, he even went to Alabama, so he knows the 3-4 system.
That's why I want Allen Branch.
But if I would say a guy that y'all might want to look at as far as with that 10th pick, I'd probably go skill position.
You would?
Running back, wide receiver, whatever the best skill position player there. Because right now, I mean, Santana, he's on the other end of 30.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And right now, as far as in a running back position, are you going to become, is terrain yours
no.
for the future?
No.
So that's why I say, because I think maybe AJ Green is a perfect guy.
Oh, but he's going to get drafted. He's going to get drafted.
Who's a guy who might, I mean, we're talking the 10th pick here. Depends on what, I mean, how everything goes in the combine. Because think about this. Look what happened to Dez Bryant last year.
That's true.
Dez Bryant slipped to the 24th.
That's true.
To the Cowboys.
I think that teams are scared of that. Just because of what happened to Dez Bryant. I think that, you know, AJ, I see AJ Green going. This is a report because I hear the Cincinnati Bengals aren't going to keep. They're thinking about not keeping Ocho Cinco, or they're not going to resign Terrell Owens automatically anyway. But I heard they're interested in AJ Green. I heard Cleveland would take AJ Green if they get the opportunity to.
But at the same time, a few things got to play out. But I mean, if he's available at the 10th spot, I think that's the guy you need to go after.
But the guy I was trying to go after, just because the 3-4 has been terrible, is a player that can probably fit the 3-4 is Von Miller out of Texas A&M. I think, you know, he can drop into coverage and he can rush the passer too. So you put him alongside of a Arakpo, you got some damage that can happen. But you know, that's because I'm trying to fit everything for this 3-4 because it's been so terrible that we need parts for this, man. We really do. And I didn't see anything in terms of free agency, because I looked through the free agency pool. I didn't see anything in terms that we can bring in that can help us out right now, next year.
As far as free agency, a certain position, you can easily go out and get a veteran guard or center type like that. But there's certain positions you want to build up through the draft, particularly tackles. You want to get an abundance of linebackers for us in the 3-4 because you – I mean, London Fletcher's not getting any younger, so you're going to at least look down the line for his replacement. And, I mean, you got a Arakpo, and also you want to – I mean, you need to be sure about that outside linebacker. So, I mean, linebackers become a dime a dozen, so you can easily find that.
And let's be real. I don't think Rocky McIntosh is going to resign with the Washington Redskins, so we're going to need – it's either they believe in Perry Riley and put him at that position, because we know HB Blaze ain't ready for it.
Because that's the thing about with linebackers. You can find linebackers, you know, throughout the draft. There's certain positions you want to at least build up through the draft. And, you know, like I said, I think if A.J. Green's available at that 10th spot, you should just hop on.
Believe me. I like A.J. Green. But, you know, I don't think we'll have him. We have Malcolm Kelly, though, next year. Watch out. Big things popping. Malcolm Kelly.
And I had more catches than Malcolm Kelly. Kelly, Malcolm, wherever you at.
Jake Locker, too. Don't forget.
But I had a bonus question for you, Wally.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Would Dan Snyder hire, say, a Russ Grimm as a line coach as an insurance policy if you wanted to get rid of Shanahan next season?
Oh, that'd be a good hire. That'd be a good hire. Would he do it? He likes Russ Grimm because he's a big fan. Just like all fans in this area are crazy about Russ Grimm. I could see him doing it, honestly. And having him like the Jason Garrett role, be like, okay, I'm here.
I got it pretty much.
Yeah, groom the head coach. And then all of a sudden he'll take the job, you know, if Shanahan doesn't deliver. It can happen, but do I think it could happen? Do I think it's going to go down? No, because I think Shanahan and Bruce Allen, at the moment, call the shots.
Yeah, they're not going to let anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think if they wanted to make it happen, right now would be the perfect time. Reason being, Russ Grimm's stock, I don't think, is as hot as it was when Arizona had won the Super Bowl.
Most definitely.
And right now, you know, with those things that's going on in Arizona, you could easily slide them over here.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, dude, like what the Cowboys did with Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
Or even how, you know, other coaches have done is groom him. And he's the insurance policy.
Yeah.
Because right now, I mean, who knows how long this Shanahan thing is going to be, this regime is going to hold up. Because right now it's starting off to a rocky start.
Yeah.
I mean, to have a guy like that, because in the past, I mean, you got a guy waiting in the wings to become coach. I mean, that might even put more heat on the head coach, you know what, to perform for this season. So we'll see. But if we about to hop into a commercial break, when we get back, we're going to break down that NFL action.
Besides being NBA champions, what do Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott share in common? Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you healthy moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. During their basketball careers, both Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott battled kidney disease and returned to the game after getting transplants. Although they share a unique story, there's nothing unique about kidney disease in our African-American community. We are disproportionately affected by kidney failure, and for some patients, kidney transplantation may be the best treatment option that allows them to live much like they did before their kidneys failed. But here's the problem. The number of organs donated by our community is low, which means it's hard to match kidney donors and recipients. To learn more about kidney donation, visit organdonor.gov or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more Healthy Moments. Your brain, then I'ma start rocking
gold teeth and fangs, cause that's what a motherfucker monster do. Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene, man. We about to talk about some good old NFL action. Man, Brett Favre is finally calling it quits. He texted me a naked picture of himself saying he was quitting. So, I mean, I don't know what to believe in, like those interns. But, I mean, he finally says he's calling it quits. Do you believe him?
Yes, I actually do. Thank you, Jesus. He's gone. I mean, it's like that ugly cousin you want to get out your face. You know what I mean? Like, just get out of my face. I'm sick of seeing you, sick of seeing Wrangler commercials. I'm sick of just, you know, your whole press conference morale, how boring you are when you just talking about nothing, about how tired and broken down you are. But then you say, oh, that's not an excuse. You know, I still expect to play on a high level. I'm just sick of the dude, man. I really am.
I think the only reason he's really quitting is because of the situation going on with those little Texans and all that.
Yeah.
He might, you know how good Bell is, you know, might give him he already gave him a little leniency with just that little BS fine.
Okay.
He wasn't going to give him no suspension type. Mm. But I think right now he's going to duck away and probably start doing Viagra commercials.
Let's be real. This is a conspiracy theory that I do have, though. I do think that in the back of his mind, he probably would think about coming back, but I think Roger Goodell told him, like, was straight up with him, was like, all right, man, if you don't retire, we're going to suspend you, and we're going to ruin your whole legacy.
Well, you know what they probably did? Retire for one season, and then come back.
Exactly. Okay, that's a possibility.
Then the suspension won't take effect.
Oh, but you know, if there's a strike, I bet you'll be back.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how I feel about the Brett Favre situation. But, man, something I really want to talk about, man, this coaching carousel that we got going on right now, I mean, it's a lot of who's staying, who's going, you know what? I mean, right now, things that's coming out of Cowboy camps and Minnesota Viking camps is Jason Garrett and Leslie Frazier about to be pretty much
all the head coaches right now.
Leslie Frazier got the interim tag taken away Monday, and all news out of Cowboy camp is pretty much Jason Garrett is going to be the guy. They're going through the process of interviewing, you know, minorities, which is, I don't know.
The Rooney joke.
We'll talk about the Rooney
joke. The Rooney joke.
But I think all signs point to Jason Garrett taking over the Cowboy camp. I mean, what you think about those two guys?
I think they're good hires, honestly. I think Jason Garrett has brought some stability to Dallas. I think that it seems like Leslie Frazier is well received in Minnesota. They seem they play. I can only go off of how they played us, and they played hard. So, and it looks, I watched games with Brad Childress, and they didn't play so hard. So, I think they're good hires for both teams.
I mean, I like Jason Garrett. You see the type of personality he has. I mean, this is a guy who's been groomed to be a head coach since forever. Because when he was a backup quarterback, he pretty much was like a quarterback coach anyway, and his dad was a coach. So he's always been groomed to be a head coach. And the same thing with Leslie Frazier. I think the one thing that really stood out to me, as you can tell, he's ready to take this team to the next level, is the fact that he didn't put up with Brett Favre's little shenanigans about, I'm going to be hurt, but, you know, I want to play and all that other stuff. He was like, all right, either you can play or you can sit and watch.
And
that's something that, you know, Brett Favre, I mean, no other coach is really telling him that.
And look, do you think?
And you see the results.
Exactly. And look at this. We saw the game from the restaurant. When we did the wrap up or the round table discussion, you saw that game.
Yeah, you saw
did
the
you
game.
See?
You saw
do
happened.
You think Brad Childress could have went into Philly and beat the Eagles?
He'd have had Joe Webb handing the ball off to Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson would have got hurt.
Leslie Frazier trusted Webb.
What the defense did alone.
And look how the defense played. I mean, they played inspired. You think that wouldn't have happened with Brad Childress? That would have never happened.
But in other coaching news, right now Carolina Panthers pretty much John Fox has been let go. They didn't renew his contract. Who do you think is going to be a good hire?
I'll take this one. I think that me and Ray did the show with the Sports Crib and Jersey Mike Jr. and WC West Coast Steelers fan. Both of them said that they thought Russ Grimm. They had Russ Grimm being the hot commodity over there. Like fans over there wanted Russ Grimm, and I think it's a good hire. We all know that Carolina back in the day was Redskin country. and you're going to have a hog, have an opportunity to have a hog to coach that team. And that team is based on a powerful running attack, which they had Henning back in the day used to, when they went to the Super Bowl and played, I believe it was the Patriots that year. He was their offensive coordinator. Russ Grimm is familiar with him. You can have that kind of offense for that team, a power, hard-nosed, football team. You can't beat that.
Me personally, I'm going an opposite way. I'm going with Ron Rivera or Prairie Fuel. Reason being, Carolina has always traditionally gone with defensive coaches. I mean, all their coaches they've ever had have always been defensive-minded coaches. So, and they've always liked going after those assistant defensive coordinator-type coaches to bring them in. I mean, I think they think they can get the same type of results with a Rivera or Fuel that they got with Fox. I mean, they got a lot out of Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize he was there for 9 seasons. He did a lot for the organization.
I don't think Fox should be fired, but
I mean,
that's my opinion.
I don't
think
they should let him go. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to go after a big name because they don't want to pay a big name coach.
Of course.
So they're going to go after a coordinator type, pretty much a first-year guy. I mean, and I think they're going to be built around – their teams are always been built around defense and a running game.
Yeah, and
I think they're going to start with that, with a defensive
and line. I like your point. What you were referring to in terms of them always picking defensive coaches, Don Caper and Don Capers and
Seifert was defensive-minded coach.
Seifert and also Fox. Jim Fox. So, good point.
I think that's the way they're going to go in that for that situation. But we got other franchises right now. They don't know what they want to do. Like – the Dolphins and the Titans right now, Tony Soprano, Jeff Fisher, they don't know which way to go. I mean, what you think about the situation down there and who would be a good candidate?
Soprano was just Coach of the Year, I believe, in Miami not too long ago.
A couple seasons ago, yeah, first year.
You're allowed to struggle. He has basically a young quarterback. It's not his fault. I mean, they'll be okay. They should keep him. Fisher, now, you know, this is going to sound funny because, you know, I'm a Vince Young fan, Fish. Basically, Fisher. It's Fisher. He's a winner.
I think right now with Jeff Fisher's situation, you have an owner that's hugely in love with Vince Young, and you got executives that are telling the owner that you need to get rid of Vince Young and not Jeff Fisher.
Right now,
I mean, me personally, I'm keeping Jeff Fisher because Jeff Fisher has approved. I mean, you're not going to really find too many coaches of a Jeff Fisher caliber. As far as Vince Young, I mean, he's fun to watch sometimes, but is he going to be able to take your organization to a level that Jeff Fisher can?
Let's just be real. Again, I'm a Vince Young fan, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to anybody. It's not like Vince Young is Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, or Phillip Rivers. I mean, Vince Young is an inconsistent quarterback. He has a good day. When he's going good, he's a good leader. He can help you win some games. But when he's on that mode, when he's on that depressed stuff, or he's being a little like acting like a little you-know-what, Vince Young can hurt your team. Fisher is a constant. He is a winner. He's won with less. He's won with a lot. He's a winner. You know what I mean? You never gave him the parts to be a dominant coach anyway in this league. He's won what you gave him. Keep Fisher.
To be honest with you, I wish this would have happened last season. So Jeff Fisher would be a Cowboy coach this past season.
Yeah, because he was rumored to be there.
You know what? And the thing about it is, Bud Adams would never get rid of Jeff Fisher while the Cowboys are in search of a quarterback because as much animosity he has towards the Cowboys.
That's true.
So, but as far as the Dolphins, the type of coach they would have, we're going to talk about their coach. To me, I think who they're going to pick up in our next question going on. Harbaugh right now is like the golden child for
his
coaching candidates right now.
Show me.
The Broncos and 49ers after him. If you haven't heard, to me, the dark horse after him is the Dolphins. What do you think about with that? What's going on?
I mean, you made a valid point. You informed me. I didn't know that the owner for the Dolphins is a Michigan alum. I didn't know that. And that's a good point. I don't want him in the NFL, period. I want him at. You seen the list I had with the Redskins. It was a bunch of Michigan players. You do the math. I want Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. I mean, when you sent me that link about Jim Harbaugh, I mean, about Rich Rodriguez, I thought Harbaugh. I'm not going off topic. I don't care. I want Harbaugh. Please, Harbaugh. If you even, I see you on Twitter, I will tweet you. Go to Michigan. Go to Michigan.
Unfortunately, that's not going to really happen. But as far as with the Broncos and 49ers, I think the Dolphins are the dark horse to really get them. I mean, each one of those teams has some type of tie to them. With, you know, John Elway is going to be the new executive by the end of the week with the Broncos. He has Stanford ties. the 49ers, they're Northern California. That's where Harbaugh is from and all his family and stuff. So he has that tie. And like I was telling you earlier, you know, the owner of the Dolphins is a Michigan alum who has no problem throwing out some money to get this guy. So, I mean, I think the dark horse is the Dolphins, but I think he might wind up in with the 49ers.
But if he does decide, I think the best choice for him, if he does decide to go to the NFL, which you can tell I'm not happy about it, but if he does decide to, I think, as you can see what Pete Carroll did with the in a weak NFC West, for him, in terms of to make himself look good, the best opportunity I think he should take is the Niners job. I mean, he would be in a weak division, so he has the opportunity to be successful rather than going to the Broncos and working with Tim Tebow.
I don't think I don't really see Harbaugh going to Denver, even though I think John Elway's going to make a good pitch for him. Because I think right now, if Harbaugh knows that, all right, for me to succeed, I mean, you have talent in Miami. You have a quarterback, even though they're saying, you know, he shouldn't be the quarterback of the franchise. But at the same time, I mean, he you know, he's familiar with him.
He's a Michigan quarterback.
He already has his left tackle, a Jake Long Michigan guy.
Dang, you ain't lying.
And he has a defense that's, you know, probably a player or two away from being an even more better defense than what they were this year. I mean, right now, I think the talent-wise of all three is in Miami. But I think he's going to wind up with the 49ers because of the local area. I mean, he's familiar with the area. He's a Northern California guy. And I think the pieces to win in that division, like you said, it's not going to take too much.
Yeah.
You pretty much just need a quarterback. And if they can find a way to get the number one pick, bring his own guy in there.
That'd be the, yeah. And also, you know, there's an opportunity he can get Don McNabb because we're not keeping him. And honestly, we're not keeping him. And also, a valid point you said about Denver, let's just be real. Did Jim Harbaugh want to coach Tim Tebow?
No. I don't even see that happen.
Like, you have to pitch Tim Tebow to Jim Harbaugh, and I don't see that happen at all.
I wouldn't even see why Jim Harbaugh would be sold on to Tim Tebow. And I think the Broncos are going to go another way and find some other gullible guy. Another thing about with Harbaugh, I mean, Harbaugh's commanding at least $6 million a year. Are the Broncos going to pay three coaches that amount of money? Because they still
play Shanahan. Point.
They still have to pay McDaniels. And so they're going to pay,
that's a good point.
Pay Harbaugh that type of money. That's a lot of money to pay coaches that aren't even coaches.
Know who they probably get because he's desperate to be a head coach again in the NFL? They probably get like Jim Fossil. He's like desperate to be a coach.
I was going
to
say Billick.
Yeah, he is desperate. I heard he's on the market for real too.
I would say Billick.
Yeah, yeah.
And knowing John Gruden, how much he sweats everybody, but I think he's going to wind up somewhere else.
You know what? Do you think Billick would want to coach Tim Tebow? Is he that desperate?
Any way to get back into the league,
okay.
I think he will.
Okay.
Another coordinators, I mean, news we were going to talk about here is coordinator jobs opening in Kansas City and Houston. Ideal candidate for those two guys. Because this is something we talked about before we got on the air. I mean,
yeah.
Who you got?
In terms of Houston, we all know, in terms of defense, on the defense side of the ball, Wade Phillips has ties in terms of Houston, the Houston Oilers and things of that sort. I think was his father. So I think that's a good place for him. Obviously that's ideal. With the opening in Kansas City in the, as an offensive coordinator, I think Josh McDaniels would be a good choice in Kansas City, but we talked about that earlier.
I'm going nowhere near what you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start off with Houston. I don't think Wade Phillips has interest in the Houston coaching position. But I don't think they should go Wade Phillips' side. I think if Wade Phillips was smart, he would let Ron Rivera go somewhere and be head coach and go back to San Diego and coach that defense that he knows already. And also, Norv Turner's on the hot seat, so he might be able to get that job. And also, the main reason for not taking the Houston job with him, Houston doesn't run a 3-4. They
That's
run a
true.
4-3.
That's
and they
true.
Have no personnel close.
Yeah, because Mario should not be running.
I know you're not going to put Mario Williams
better
at
not.
3-4 defensive end.
Better not.
Outside linebacker.
Good point. That's a good point.
And as far as on the Kansas City side, the reason I don't say Josh McDaniels, because him and Haley were beefing during the season. And at the same time, McDaniels a Belichick guy.
Yeah.
Haley's a Parcells guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've never really been on that same team together.
They've been melting the fence after he carried
Even
his Jets.
Pioli, the GM of Kansas City, he's Parcells' son-in-law, who has ties to Belichick and Parcells, but it's more on the Parcells side. And I think, you know, Haley, he think he's like a junior Parcells.
But you know what?
Anyway, but I don't see him going after McDaniels. I see him probably going after maybe, I mean,
Romeo.
Even himself. I mean, he was offensive coordinator at Arizona, so why wouldn't he just find some quarterback coach, name him offensive coordinator, and call on play?
But I believe Romeo and Charlie White traditionally really are like Parcells
guys. They're
Parcells
guys.
I don't even think Haley has anything involved in this. I never thought he had anything involved in terms of Kansas City, period, anyway, in terms of coach. I don't even think he's a paper. He's a figurehead. And I think that if Pioli wanted McDaniel, he'll get McDaniel and not even care about Haley.
I don't think it'd be a good fit.
I know what you're saying. I agree. Because
you have them. Because to me, I mean, if these guys bumped heads coaching each other, you think they're not going to bump heads because they're already two strong personalities anyway. So I think the better fit would be probably go after. If he wants to go after anybody, I mean, Ken Whistlehood might get fired, so he can pick him up.
Yeah, I think some idiotic moves.
I mean, I think they should go in a different direction as far as that job. But, I mean, that's how I feel on those positions. Right now, man, the season's over with in NFL. Anything stood out for you this season?
Yeah. Turmoil. I think that actually no, let's be real. We just talked about the topic. The thing that stuck out to me was so many coaching changes. Early, I mean, people are getting fired early. I think even good coaches are getting fired or have been getting fired. Like we talk about Fox. I feel like there is no loyalty. You fire Fox, but you give him nothing. Like his quarterback was more. Like you gave him more. Matt Moore. Really?
And Jimmy Clausen.
I mean, there were quarterbacks out there in the market that I think that they could have won with if they decided to make a push for it. Like, I'll give a prime example. Though people might not, around here might not like him, but it was productive of Oakland. Jason Campbell. They could have got Jason Campbell.
I said, before they got rid of Jason Campbell, to me,
I thought Carolina was going to get him.
The best spot for him.
Yeah, and they didn't even make a pitch for him. Well, I don't think they've been a strong enough pitch to get him. I mean, we didn't give the Raiders, and we didn't get back a lot from the Raiders to give up Jason Campbell.
Gave him away for free.
Yeah, so I don't get that. But anyway, I mean, I think in terms of like the quickness to get rid of certain coaches has stood out to me.
I think that one thing that stood out to me for this season was we watched a lot of less, not really good football teams win a lot.
Yeah.
Like the situation in NFC West where, you know, you have a 7-9 team going to the playoffs. And then the situation, even in the AFC West, with the Kansas City Chiefs going to the playoffs, winning 10 games, and you look at their schedule, and it's kind of like, I mean, seriously, this is who you played. And even other teams, I mean, think about it. I mean, I'm not to take anything away from Atlanta Falcons, but in years past, that team would probably be a second or third type seeded team
in the end
of the year. I think the dominance as far as with teams this year wasn't really there. I mean, the only real dominant team you can say that's really in the playoffs right now
is the Patriots. And the Steelers.
I wouldn't even say the Steelers because the Steelers, to me, are even vulnerable when they get outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they are.
And you have Peyton Manning who's right now, he's throwing the guys who probably worked at UPS last week. So, I mean, I think we're not getting as great teams. We're getting, you know, a lot of mediocre teams that are pretty much going to be in a position to win a Super Bowl this year because that Pittsburgh team, that's of the years past, that's probably not even their best Pittsburgh team. I mean, with Polamalu's not playing, you can do things against that defense. Okay. Like I said, with Peyton Manning, he has no one to throw to. You know, they're not really running the ball as well. You know, Jake, think about it. Jay Cutler's the number two seeded team with the Bears. Who do they even throw the ball to? Johnny Knox? I mean, when you think about it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you're right. Aaron Rodgers is like the leading rusher on this team at quarterback.
That's true.
I think it's a lot of less talented, not talent wise, but a less
talented.
It's not great teams.
Not great teams.
Years past. Yeah, not great teams. We watched. That's the thing that stood out for me this year, though.
That's good. That's a good point.
But we about to place our bet right there. Offensive MVP for the season. Well, I mean, we say offensive MVP, but they only named quarterback and running backs MVP. Who do you have for MVP this year?
I got Mike Vick.
Not a surprise.
We had a conversation about, you know, certain quarterbacks on last show, but, yeah, Mike Vick, you know, Vick is fourth in QB rating with a 100.2 rating, in a far more explosive offense than, you know, the other individual that he throws a lot of far more explosive plays than the other individual that is up for MVP and Tom Brady. I think he has 12 passing plays for over 40 plus yards. I think that's over Tom Brady. His average yards per pass is, I think, is 8.2, which is more than Tom Brady. And he's a dual threat. He leads all quarterbacks with 9 rushing TDs, and I believe he leads in terms of rushing quarterbacks, he leads the league at 676 yards.
The guy who I think is going to win it is Brady, a guy who I would like to see. I think Vic's going to come in second. A guy who I would like to see receive a lot of votes, you know, just recognition, is Arian Foster, because he did a lot as far as he led the league in rushing. And they mean coming out of the backfield. But I think it's pretty much Brady's, and I think Vic kept it close to the end of the season, but I think those last couple games hurt him a little bit, or just his stock to be able to rise above Brady, particularly that Minnesota game. I think if he'd have dominated a lot more, then his talk with Brady would be kind of even. But I think Vic didn't really close the gap enough to get the MVP. I think he had a great year, but I don't think he closed the gap enough to really take over Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady, I mean, he had a great year. I mean, 30-plus touchdowns. I mean, I don't know when the last time he threw an interception.
Everybody
I mean,
drops his picks. That is annoys me, man.
But I think right now,
you have a valid point.
It was Vic's. I mean, Vic was in a race, but I don't think he closed the gap enough to catch Tom Brady. And I think that's the reason Tom Brady's on.
But I would like the voters out there to know. I mean, to look at least that this man is a dual threat. Like, he throws the ball well and he runs. Tom Brady is doing one thing. So it's like the Magic Johnson, you know, compared to Michael Jordan type of argument. Magic Johnson did so many things, but Michael Jordan only did that one thing. And you know, and it comes to Mike Vick, he does so many things, and Tom Brady does that one little thing, dinks and dunks.
Mike Vick's
the facilitator. He really pulls the strings for real, like on everything.
We'll let you stick with that. On the defensive side, defensive player of the year, who you got?
First, before I get into this, I was surprised because I was looking up stats, and I did not know Ed Reed led the league in interceptions.
And 10 games?
Exactly. And I wanted to pick him, but just because he only played 10 games, I couldn't pick him. But I picked the guy that we talked about. I picked Troy Polamalu. I'm gonna tell you why. Troy Polamalu, without him, we see how vulnerable that defense is. Like how they played against the Jets, how vulnerable that defense is without him. And when he's on the field, you know, he leads that defense, which is number two in the NFL. And he has 7 interceptions, which is second place anyway. So I'm gonna give it to Troy Polamalu, and he has a pick 6 too. So I mean, Troy Polamalu to me, he's the defensive player of the year.
I mean, I agree with you there with Polamalu. A guy who I want to see get a lot of recognition is Adonikan Sue, because I think that for a rookie defensive tackle to come in the league and did what he did is really, like, you can tell he's one of those players, a once-in-a-generation player right there. I mean, I want to see him get votes, but I'm going to go with you. I think it's Polamalu. I think Ed Reed, to me, cheats with the interception time, because, you know, those end-of-the-half throws, end-of-the-game
plays.
He got back to interceptions anyway.
That's true.
But, I mean, you can tell the difference between Polamalu on that Pittsburgh defense and when he's not. When he's on the field, man, he's at the line of scrimmage and getting ready to take the quarterback out and can run back in coverage. I think with Ed Reed's the prototypical center field safety that you want controlling the field, but at the same time, to me, the Ravens was getting burnt when people was passing on him.
Yeah, but that's...
You seen what Roddy White did to him in that game.
Yeah.
And another game.
But Ed wasn't in that game, though. Ed didn't play in the Atlanta game, though.
But I'm just saying,
in general,
you see,
yeah.
when he's back there, I mean, he's getting interceptions, but you was able to throw on that Ravens defense if you could hold up against the line. But I'm going to go with Polamalu. I mean, you can see the difference in when he's on the field and when he's not.
But yeah, I just want to say, every 8 picks in 10 games is ridiculous, though. I'm sorry. Any feat. If he played a whole season, he'd be my defense MVP. I wouldn't
think
even lie.
The beard. It must be the beard.
Something, man. You know, Roscoe's, you know, whatever.
But Pro Bowl picks were made last week, Brown. Any guys you think
I
should
have on
the
man.
Pick?
This is one thing. I know you're a Cowboy fan. I think Jason Witten deserves it. He definitely deserves it. I think, Ware deserves it. Ratliff made it. And I have a problem because BJ Raji had a way better year than Ratliff. But no one wants to talk about it. I think Ratliff only had 3.5 sacks. BJ Raji had like 6.5 sacks.
Yeah, that many?
Yeah. I looked it up, man. He had 6.5 sacks. And I was like, cause I was thinking like, I like Ratliff. I think Ratliff is a good player. But now I'm thinking like, they had a bad defense. And for them to get that many players.
They got 2 guys on defense.
Yeah, 2 guys on defense. In terms of as a whole, the team as a whole.
Well, I think that to me, as far as like we were talking, I think DeMarcus Ware deserved it. He led the league in sacks.
DeMarcus Ware deserves it.
Jason Witten led.
Oh, he deserves it.
I mean,
can't argue that.
To me, the only 3 guys that deserved from the Cowboys was also in the punter.
Yeah, well, and Garrard made it.
Really
and Garrard made it.
At the same time.
But who's a center, though? I don't know anything about centers.
Offensive lineman, I mean, once you build up a reputation, you get picked.
That's true. That's
true. To me, personally, a snub is, I mean, I'm not a guy. I don't even root for this guy, but I will say he had a great year. It's Vernon Davis. I think he had had too much of a great year not to be named a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, who's it to?
Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez didn't.
Tony
he had
Gonzalez
a so-so
really
year.
Anything
had a so-so year.
Better than Chris Cooley or Vernon Davis.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought that, you know, Vernon Davis or Chris Cooley should have made the Pro Bowl.
I do think, you know, if LaRon Landry didn't get hurt, he'd be on the Pro Bowl.
I think another
but he didn't.
The guy who made it, who should send Jay Cutler some champagne, is D'Angelo Hall.
No, he shouldn't have made it. I mean, let's be real. That one game, we already said that, though. He got him in the Pro Bowl for the one game. There's a guy, man. All right, this is a guy. I look at his stats. Though he was explosive, DeSean Jackson's stats aren't Pro Bowl stats at all.
No.
At all. Santana could have made it over him, but I'm not picking Santana. Larry Fitzgerald should have made it over
was a quarterback.
Yeah. Though. Larry Fitzgerald had, he was still up there with, even with that bad quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald had way better numbers than DeSean Jackson.
DeSean Jackson's one big play that you never hear from.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, he does make big plays, but to me, he makes one play, then that's it for
look, I mean, look at his stats. I mean, 47 receptions, 1,056 yards, and it's only 6 touchdowns. I mean, only 47 receptions.
He makes big plays, though.
I'm getting wrong. His average yardage.
After those big plays,
weird.
He's not going
to dominate a game, you know, like, okay, dominate a game in terms of catching, like, left and right.
He's not a guy I see catching the ball, you know, 8-10 times when you need those first downs.
Yeah, exactly.
Move the chains type of guy. Like, Andre Johnson or Calvin Johnson type of season they had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, if you wanted to compare DeSean Jackson's numbers to anybody, look what Brandon Lloyd did.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example because Brandon Lloyd had a huge average per catch.
And still got catches.
He put up way more catches and way more yards and scored way more touchdowns than DeSean Jackson. So, I mean, I think right now DeSean Jackson went off the explosive plays, but like you said, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald was a snub.
Yeah, he was. He was snub.
I mean, blame that on your quarterbacks, though, Larry. We can't do nothing about that. Keep making Nike commercials. But season end up, we know the draft orders, particularly for the top half. Couple of guys you think you want to focus on, couple of players you want to see, can they come out?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, who I want to see, I did my own little, you know, top five, little top, what is it, top six, I guess. I had Carolina getting Luck. I had, Denver getting,
Man, you
Darius.
Have to get us a pick for me. Any players you
any
like?
Any players I want to see?
Any players you like coming out of the draft?
Oh, shoot. Who do I want to see? I want to see, AJ Green. I like AJ Green. I'm not going to lie to you. But he's coming out. But I want to see AJ Green. I actually ain't going to lie to you. I kind of want to see, for some strange reason, I don't know why. Maybe because I wanted him, but he dissed my college. I want to see Terrell Pryor come out. For some strange reason, I want to see him come out. I know he's not pretty much ready. I like to see him in the second, third round and become a project. I think he has ability. I think he has a lot of ability.
Man, we'll talk about Pryor later. A couple guys I really can't wait to see till they get in the NFL. One is Patrick Peterson, the defensive back from LSU.
I know.
Who's like ridiculous.
They got him.
Cover skills. I can't wait. Also, another guy, a guy who I like, I mean, is Nick Farley from Auburn, the defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Jay Ratliff a little bit.
Undersized, you know, with a motor. Yeah.
You know, about that 6'1", 6'2" size. He's a little bit shorter than Jay Ratliff. About 303 and some change. But, I mean, he was a beast for that defense, giving up points, but he was doing his thing. And the last guy who I really want to see is Bowers.
I'm about to say the same thing. I want to see this man.
He's like a junior.
I want to see him, man.
I've known about him since he came out of high school because, he was just like, size-wise, he was ready to come out of high school. But, I mean, he's just ridiculous at defensive end.
That's like how I saw Mario Williams, like his first year at NC State. I thought he was like the best thing going.
He's almost like a mixture between Mario Williams and Peppers.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude is just ridiculous as far as, I mean, he's huge. I mean, he has speed, quickness. I mean, the dude is just it just makes no sense the way he goes after the quarterback. I mean, he put up, I think, like 17 sacks this year. So, he's I can't wait to see him in an NFL uniform.
He's going
to
be a Bengal. Watch. Cincinnati Bengal.
I hope not. Then his career go right down the
road. Man. They need a pass rusher. So, look at look at that dude.
Playoffs start this weekend. First playoff game we got going. Saints at Seahawks. We talked about earlier, 7-9 team getting the playoffs.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts about that?
Well, luckily the Saints, Seattle has the chance to host this game. They're playing. The Saints have to come to Seattle, which is a difficult place to play. Hopefully Matt Hasselbeck will be back for them to play that game, because I remember when they played them in New Orleans, New Orleans blew them out, but the game in the beginning, it was kind of a close game. And, you know, they have Mike Williams. I think Mike Williams is healthier now, and they have Marshawn Lynch is playing a lot better. Marshawn Lynch is huge, is playing a lot better. And so it's going to be competitive. I told you earlier, a shock in the world. I have the Seahawks knocking off the Saints. As a matter of fact, Mega, we all know, is Ron. He has the same opinion as well.
Man, as far as a 7-9 team hosting a playoff game, I have no problems with it. They won a division fair and square. They can't help who they play, who they lose to. As far as, you know, with this game, if the Seahawks, I mean, right now they don't know who they're going to go with. Is it going to be Whitehurst or is it going to be Hasselbeck? And I think the better chances is with Hasselbeck because he's a proven guy in the playoffs over Whitehurst. But I think in order for the Seahawks to win this game, I think it needs a snow and rain to slow down the air attack from the Saints. And if they can do that, then that gives them a better chance. Because right now, I hear Chris Ivory's not playing for the Saints.
Not the whole playoffs. He's out the whole playoffs.
He's a little bit out of sync because Pierre Thomas is still a little banged up. Reggie Bush, he's still, I mean, he's not a running back. He's a wide receiver out of the backfield. I mean, what, Julius Jones going to carry the load? I'm going to go with the Saints, but I got to be in a close game, like a last-second field goal by Hartley or something like that. But I got to be in a very, very competitive game with the Saints and the Seahawks, but I got to come in close.
Yeah, but they have to, what they have to do is the Seahawks, they have to pound Marshawn Lynch. They have to. They got to run the ball. They got to, and they have to, when they get Mike Williams on single coverage, they have to try to hit him deep or hit him in a crossing pattern or something, because Mike Williams is too big, and I don't think any of those cornerbacks are pretty small, and I think that he can use his height advantage against them.
I think the only guy that maybe we had a matchup is Jenkins.
Yeah.
Sharper's the second string anyway.
Yeah.
The other game happening this weekend as far as on Saturday, the Jets and the Colts played in that 8 o'clock primetime game. Man, I think it's going to be a great game because of the fact that you got the Jets defense going against Peyton Manning's mind on his offense. And I think at the end of the day is, can the Jets put up points against the Colts who's playing at home? Because you know how the Colts play on domes, and they playing at home. They're playing on, you know, the dome stadium. So they're going to take – their defense has the speed to catch whoever on the Jets. And is Mark Sanchez going to show up and be able to at least carry some points against against this Colts defense?
Well, we've seen this story before. I mean, when it comes to the Colts, you know, they always play, supposedly, in the beginning of the season, play bad on defense. And then when it comes down the stretch, their defense gets a lot better.
The best example is when they won the Super Bowl.
Exactly, and nothing has changed. The defense has played a lot better since they need to win games. They're playing – the Jets have to score points. Joseph Addai is back. The running game is getting better. Donald Brown has played a lot better down the stretch. Joseph Addai is back, like I said. They're getting healthier. Jacob Tammy's done a good job at tight end. You still have Reggie Wayne being all world Reggie Wayne. Matter of fact, Garcon has stepped up big time. And even Ray's man, Blair White, has balled. So, and all that is contributed to one of the greatest quarterbacks in our era, period, in Peyton Manning. And you know, I don't think that the Jets have enough to beat that. And the Jets defense isn't as good as it has been back in, like last year. Isn't as good as last year's defense.
I think the one weak thing on the Colts defense that I think the Jets are going to be able to do, even though they're supposed to be known for this, is running the ball.
Yeah.
The Colts may not be able to stop the run, but I don't think the Jets are going to be able to do anything with the run because LT, but as the season went on, he showed his age even more. And it's Sean Green didn't have that type of season everyone thought he was going to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Colts defense, as far as they're not going to be really afraid to stop the run.
Yeah.
And as far as their passing in the back end, I mean, Bethea and all those guys, mm-hmm. I mean, they're pretty good against the pass, so they're going to be prepared for
it. Ex-Redskin, Justin Tryon, who's played well over there. I mean, like, the only way the Jets can win this game, they just got to run.
Control the ball.
Yeah, they got to run. I mean, I'm sorry. I like Mark Sanchez. I mean, Mark Sanchez is okay. I love Braylon Edwards, Michigan man. But they don't have enough. They don't have enough to do anything to me.
So you're going with the Colts?
Yeah, I'm going with the Colts.
We're both going with the Colts on this one. Another game, well, we talked about the Ravens a little bit with Ed Reed and those guys. Even also talked about the Chiefs. That matchup this weekend, I mean, the Kansas City's backfield running game, Jamal Charles, Thomas Jones. I mean, you think the Ravens will be able to stop them or hold them up?
I think the Ravens putting 8-9 in the box, and they're going to try Derek Castle to beat them. That's it. They're going to dare Pat Castle to beat them. They'll have Ed Reed over the top on Bo. Because, you know, they're going to have, what's his name on him? Webb on Bo. And they'll have Avery over top. But they're going to put 8-9 in the box. 8-9 in the box to stop the running game and make Castle beat him.
I think as long as they don't give up a big play to Jamal Charles, who, I mean, he's a big play type running back. They should be able to control a line of scrimmage against the against the Chiefs. And as far as, you know, taking away the passing attack, like you said, as long as they take away Bo, I mean, there's no one else that's going to be pretty much put fear in the Ravens' heart. I mean, because Sugg is going to go after Castle.
Yeah.
And Ray Lewis is going to hold down everything in between there, and Ed Reed has the back end. So, I mean, I think with that type of matchup, I think it's up to the offensive side for the Ravens to control the ball with Ray Rice. And I think they should be able to put points up against the Chiefs. Even though they're playing in Arrowhead, I mean, I don't see no reason why the Ravens shouldn't be able to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got the Ravens winning, but I'll say this much. The Chiefs' speed if done correctly, can give the Ravens problems.
I think
they do a lot of speed.
It's Jamal Charles.
Charles on special teams, Arenas. Yeah, Arenas.
And McCluskey.
Yeah, McCluskey. Is he still there? Is he hurt? Is he healthy? Okay.
But at the same time, with those guys, they're rookies.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't expect them to break out as much. And at the same time with Charles, I mean, the Ravens have enough big guys to get in his way. He's a little dude.
They got young Ed Reed over there at Kansas City.
So.
At Barry. Young Ed Reed.
But right now, look at the last game the Chiefs played. They struggled against the Raiders big time.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens right now should be able to easily handle
it. They'll win that game. They'll win that game. Like you said, there's a lot of bad teams out there that posing as they're good.
Probably the biggest game this weekend is Green Bay and Philly. You talked about your boy Vic going against Aaron Rodgers. Who do you think should have the better game?
It's going to be a hard one. It's going to be a hard one. But, you know, I can't go against my boy Vic. Of course, it's going to be Vic having a better game, man. Vic, I see Clay Matthews over pursuing, and I see lanes, man. I can see the future, and I see lanes everywhere for Vic to run. And I'm a fan of Charles Woodson, you know, Michigan alum. But I don't see Charles Woodson plays that multi-position thing. He's not like he's playing actual cornerback. He's like safety linebacker. And I don't see, Tremont Williams and Nick Collins being able to stay with Macklin and Deshaun Jackson. I think there's too much that can go on. And we saw how Vic looked when he got to play him in the beginning of the season anyway, though it was him coming after Cobb got injured, so they weren't prepared for him, but still.
This is my upset of the weekend.
It's not upset. Everybody has Green Bay.
I'm going Green Bay beating Philly. And I think I know what's going to happen. I think that someone's going to hit Vic and slow him up a little bit. Not knock him out of the game, but slow him up a little bit. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to he's going to put up at least 300 yards against the secondary of the Eagles. Reason why? Nate Allen's hurt, and them safeties have been getting beat all year. The Packers have, 20 wide receivers they throw the ball to. Driver, Jones.
Jones is a beast.
Jennings.
Jones is a beast. No one talks about Jones, but Jones is a beast.
They don't have Jermichael Finley to play.
And Jody and Nelson. You said Nelson
they
already?
They have, unlimited guys they're going to send down the field. And the thing is, can the secondary of the Eagles be able to hold up? Because you can blitz all you want. If they can at least hold them up a few seconds, Rodgers can get him the ball, and this is my upset for the weekend.
It ain't just you. My friend on Twitter, Mr. 1738, he has the same thing. He predicted the same thing you predicted.
I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, Marcus. Someone else agrees with you.
I think it's going to be a good game, but I have an upset here. I'm going with Green Bay. I think right now, I wanted Philly to end the season out a little bit better. I think that Minnesota game, I wanted to – you know, at least get on that rolling streak to get them.
I wanted to be a two-seed. That's what I wanted to be. It didn't happen.
I got the upset this weekend. But we about to hop into a commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk about something that's been making Wally real happy, college football.
Yes. But no, at the same time.
I'm a champion. Realize Shaq's mechanism. Yeah.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Yellow, Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene, man. Before we hop into this college football segment, man, you can catch me and Will on Applebee's at www.blogtalkradio.com/Applebee's. Great show. We be on there with Coach Vivian Pettis. We have a lot of fun on there talking college football and just college sports in general.
And they're on Sundays at 9 p.m. And also, you know, last week they discussed, I believe, what's the rape charge? When they raped the so-called rape, it was the is it FI?
Baseball player from FI.
Yeah. That's what they were talking about. It was an interesting topic. So check it out. Like Fish said, just check it out. It was real interesting.
Oh yeah, shout out to Vivian and Coach, man. I love, man. I had so much fun talking with those guys. And I know right now, Pettis is somewhere looking at his Ohio State game because he's a whole,
yeah 7-7 right now.
So, but we about to hop into some college football here, man. People in the Maryland area. They got UConn's coach, Edsel. They're pretty hyped over this guy. Thoughts on his hire?
Failure. You fired Fritsch for the guy from UConn?
Yeah.
Failure. I like the guy. I think the guy is a good coach. The cornerback who died, who passed away a couple years ago, was it last year or a couple years ago? And I think he handled that team well. I mean, he uplifted that team that was depressed, and he did a great job with that unit. But I'm thinking they're getting Mike Leach. I'm thinking they're trying to really do it. Like, they're trying to win the ACC for real. This is just like, I don't know, it's regular to me. It's nothing.
I think with this hire, I mean, I think he's a good coach, especially what he did with the UConn program, pretty much taking them from nowhere to somewhere. Even though I don't know how they played in the BCS bowl game, not even being ranked. That shows you how weak the Big East is. But with him coming to Maryland, it's kind of like, okay, what type of noise do you really think he's going to make here? Because he's competing with the Virginia Techs of the world, the Florida States, and those guys. So is he going to be able to take Maryland to the next level? If you think Friesen couldn't take it to the next level, I mean, I don't really see how this guy's going to be able
That's
to take it to the next
point.
Level or even further than that. I think with Leach, at least he the key to put filled up the seats in the stadium with his offense. I don't think he'd have won any ACC championships.
Hey,
but he'd have filled
know.
Up the seats. I think what you're going to see Maryland continue to go to those, I don't know,
military bowls,
general bowls,
military bowls,
giant bowls, food line bowls, whatever bowls they got for everybody to go to.
Hoey bowl.
Yeah. 7-Eleven bowls, everything.
Exactly. CVS bowl.
So, but, I mean, Shin bowls, whatever you think.
I don't know, man.
They're going to have them going to them bowls. But, man, I don't even want to talk about Maryland.
Yeah,
we're
going
to talk about, man, Charlie Weiss is becoming an offensive coordinator in Florida. Any real big thoughts about that?
I'm surprised he left for Florida. I'm surprised when he go back, he went from being an offensive coordinator in the NFL, and successful, to go in college.
The reason why, he's going to take this opportunity to go down there. He's going to put up big numbers with Florida.
Uh-huh.
And in another year from two, every NFL team is going to go after him.
That's his plan?
That's what I think is going to happen.
Couldn't he have done that? Because he made Kansas City.
Would he be able to do that at Kansas City offensive coordinator?
I think he did a good job.
I don't think he'd eventually got the NFL gig as fast as if he go to Florida.
Oh, so you think he could just have some outlandish numbers and just go from there?
I don't think Kansas City's going to be able to repeat what they did next season.
Gotcha.
He knows if he can go to Florida.
Oh, he's being realistic. I got you.
Put up gaudy numbers, whatever, you know, All-Americans he's going to bring down there.
Mm-hmm.
And another season or two from now, you don't think people are going to go start looking for him to become an NFL head coach? I think the path of him becoming an NFL coach is going to be quicker him being offensive coordinator at Florida than him staying at Kansas City. Because I think eventually at Kansas City, I mean, they're going to figure the team out anyway.
That's true.
So I think it was kind of slick what he did. But in other college football news, what I really want to talk about, this Rich Rodriguez situation that's going on right now. Is he fired? They said he was fired, but they ain't going to officially say he's fired. They got some like little team meeting thing going on tomorrow, whatever situation is. You know, is Michigan going to get Harbaugh? I mean, what's your take on this whole situation going on right now?
You know I want Harbaugh. I don't even know what this is all about. I mean, I got an email from a good friend of mine who's sitting to my right, who told me, you know, who sent me a good link saying this guy is fired. I get back to my apartment. I'm looking on the ESPN ticker, lead, and it says they deny the reports that they have fired Rodriguez. What are you waiting on? Did you see the bowl game, the same bowl game that I saw? We are I'm gonna say this. I didn't go to University of Michigan, but I felt like I went there. And I'm gonna say this. And I'm saying this. We, like I went to Michigan. We are Michigan. We do not accept getting blown out in a bowl game. If we gonna get blown out.
No, Mississippi.
Mississippi State, for real? I've been blown out by USC at the Rose Bowl. That hurt. But it was, at least it was a historical great college football team. Mississippi State, really? We beaten Florida when they had Urban Meyer and Tebow in it. We beaten Florida. You telling me Mississippi State can blow us out? You need to be gone, Rich Rodriguez. It's not a game. You should be gone. I don't care who he brings in. He can't bring anything in. Period. It doesn't take you that long. Charlie Weiss, who got kicked out of Notre Dame, I believe in his first or second year, got Notre Dame into a big bowl with limited resources. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
I think by the end of tomorrow, he will be officially fired. It won't be, you know, the media and all this. He'll be gone. I think your dreams of getting Jim Harbaugh are pretty much not going to happen. It's going to take it's going to take Bo Schembechler pretty much coming out of the grave for Harbaugh to go to Michigan right now.
I think
right now you're going to hear this name come up a lot in the next few days. As far as the next coach at Michigan is a guy named Brady Hoke. If you don't know who Brady Hoke is, he's the head coach at San Diego State, and he's a former Michigan assistant coach from back in the day, from late 90s, early 2000s. And that's going to be a name you're going to hear a lot about. Him and Les Miles. I think one of those two guys.
Those are great guys. Those are great guys. Those are awesome guys. I'm all about the Michigan keeping it in the family. But you know, I want Jim. I'm sorry. Jim, listen to me, man.
I don't think it's
Jim, let's be real.
You
Jim.
Have a better chance of getting his brother.
I know. Jim, he's way better coaching his brother. I mean, let me start there right now. Jim, listen to me. You need to come to Michigan. All right. You can be great. Like, you can be good in the NFL, but you can be great. Look what you did to Stanford. They don't get nobody to go to Stanford. They're all Ivy Leaguers. It's Stanford. You come to Michigan, and you can be great. I'm telling you, you can get the best quarterback. Could you imagine if we had Luck? Could you imagine if Luck was wearing the maize and blue? Could you imagine where we would be at? But no. I'm sorry, Denard, you're cool and all. And I like you, Denard. You can run, you're fast, but you're no Luck. We could have Luck, and it would have been great. We would have been number one in the nation. Guaranteed we'd be Ohio State, and you get to play Ohio State every year. The 49ers can't give you that. They can't give you Ohio State versus Michigan. HBO. That's my best. That's Jim Harbaugh trying to call me right now. Hold on.
Is that Jim Harbaugh calling? Me, personally, I think that Jim Harbaugh is not coming. Like I said, I think he's going to wind up somewhere in the NFL. So, Wally, your dreams of Harbaugh happening is not happening. But I will say this. If Michigan really want to make some noise and just be put out there, even though this guy's not even a Michigan guy, and I think he's probably going to take a joke out of the hand to get him, is if they brought Nick Saban to Ann Arbor. I'm just saying, if they did some type of move like that.
Yeah, no way. I like Nick Saban.
Yeah.
He's a good coach.
They would have to bring one of those type of guys. But right now, I think, you know, your next Michigan coach is Les Miles or Brady Hoke. Right now, I think those are pretty much going to be the two front runners.
And dark horse, is Jim Harbaugh. Once he changes his mind.
Maybe if he got another little brother somewhere, but.
Hey, man, money talks. Let's start throwing it out there. We got boosters out there. I'm sorry. It's time to throw that money out there. I'm sorry.
He's already said if he goes back to college football, he's going back to Stanford.
Man, everybody says that. You know, when you throw in AAA, I'm a loyal individual, but you throw in the right amount of money, loyalty could be thrown to the side.
You know what? I would even take this. Name whoever you want as coach and let him suck for the year. And get Urban Meyer next year.
I don't want to spray it, man. I want a real quarterback. I mean, I want a real system.
I'm tired of
spray. I want a real system, man. I want a real system.
That pro style back.
Yeah, I want a real system.
But we're going to have to get in these BCS bowl games right now, man. Let's start off with the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin beat TCU. Pretty close game. Any thoughts on that game?
I thought it was a good game. I thought Dalton showed me a lot. He showed me a lot. I think that Wisconsin, towards the end, they showed their power running game, but it was too late.
I think this was a big game for TCU. They won it. They showed what they could do. I mean, I thought Wisconsin was going to be able to try to pound the ball against a smaller defense. But at the end, I mean, TCU won. TCU's moving to the Big East next year, so if they can continue this little winning ways, they'll be in a national championship.
Yeah, from one mid-major to another.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The Big East, it has a little bit more in the name as far as the club.
It's name. It's a name.
As far as the teams they're putting out there, it's really not major. I don't see why they shouldn't be able to dominate next year.
Speaking of a Big East team, look at the next team we got here.
Did they even show up against Oklahoma? I mean,
I think
this game right here proved that the system's out of whack when you have a team that's not even ranked in the top 25 in a BCS bowl game. So, I mean, I don't even would even start with this UConn-Oklahoma game.
I mean, it's just like Seattle Seahawks getting into the it's a flawed system, but I mean, it's just like the Seattle a little bit. It's like the Seattle Seahawks getting into the playoffs. They played Oklahoma. Everybody knew it was going to be a blowout. I'll give them some credit. They played with heart in the beginning of the game. They did. They really tried. You could tell they wanted to prove the naysayers wrong, but they just weren't good enough. It was a reason why they were that bad of a team.
Man, I don't even know where to start. That's why their coach left them.
You're right.
A game that went on last night. I have a colleague. She's a big Virginia Tech fan. She went to Virginia Tech. First half of the game was close. Second half of the game, Stanford was eating turkey. I mean, they just...
She put a bag on her face?
She was upset. I even had to post a note on Facebook about it. I was like, man, Stanford didn't even let the dogs, they let the Vicks loose on them. I mean, they just went after him in the second half. Luck showed why he's pretty much going to be the top pick in the draft. Harbaugh showed why he's like the hottest coach in the past.
Michigan, 10 boy.
Years. I mean, I don't see coaches hotter than them right now.
Michigan, boy.
So, I mean, they pretty much just dominated Virginia Tech that game, especially in the second half. So.
Yeah, like you said, man, Luck showed why he's going to be the first pick overall in the draft. Jim Harbaugh showed why he should be going to Michigan. And, Virginia Tech, Tyrod, I had faith in you, man. It just didn't happen for you.
Where's little Marcus Vick at when you need him?
I know. He's at McDonald's.
Rain of fighting dogs somewhere.
McDonald's with his gun out.
But
doing stuff.
The game that's going on right now, we have Ohio State and Arkansas right now. State's up by a touchdown going into the by the end of the first half. Who you like in this game?
Well, I like Arkansas, but right now, as we were watching now, it seems like Terrell Pryor is outplaying Ryan Mallett. But, you know, it's a lot of time left. I believe it's the first quarter. It's 14-7. It's the first half, so it's 14-7. So, you never know what's going to happen. But I want to pick Arkansas. I mean, my Michigan roots would not allow me to pick Ohio State. But in terms of Big Ten, you know, everybody's concerned about how bad the Big Ten looks anyway, so... And how do you think about that with the Big Ten? Everyone's talking about how bad the Big Ten looks.
Man, they look like they were the Big East. I mean, it's just ridiculous how, I mean, some of the games were just like, are you serious? I mean, it was just like, I mean, it's almost shameful. I mean, this isn't a Big Ten I grew up watching. I mean, to get off subject and all, but it's just like right now in a Big Ten, you only have, to me, well, Joe Powell's in a category by itself, but you only have like one and a half legitimate big time coaches in the Big Ten, which is Tressel, and I'll give Dan and Tony. Kirk Ferentz. Two. I mean, other than that, I mean, Dan and Tony. He did a good thing with Michigan State, but I mean, right now in that division, I mean, that conference is just like wow. I mean, Pat Fitzgerald for Northwestern, I mean, he's building up that program, but
he's trying.
It's like wow. I mean, this isn't the conference I grew up watching. I mean, I think Wisconsin, I mean, they really let me down in that game. I thought they were going to do better. And I mean, it's just like, I mean, I don't even know where to even start with what they did.
I'll say this. To me, like you said, we're both Michigan fans. So let's put it out there. We've been watching the Big Ten for years, obviously. And I'll say this: the Big Ten operates on a high level, and I know it sounds showing some favoritism, but I'm gonna be real. It operates so at a good level when their top two teams are Michigan and Ohio State. Period. They are better. If for some strange reason, I don't know why it is, but when those two teams are the best two teams in the conference, it flows better. the Wisconsin's, you know, are a very formidable three team. You know what I mean? Or, Iowa. Iowa's the better three team, honestly, cause with Kirk Ferentz. Yeah, Penn State. It seems like it just flows better. And with Michigan playing at a terrible level.
It's like it's bringing up.
It's bringing everything down. I'm serious. And I'm not saying it just being a Michigan fan. I'm just being real. When Michigan, the Big Ten needs Michigan to play at a high level. They do. They need Michigan to play at a high level. And Michigan not playing at a high level for the last couple of years. And honestly, the Big Ten has been weak.
Well, we ain't want to get too far off topic, but last game, national championship game is next week, next Monday. How's it looking for you? I mean, who do you think is going to
win? Well, you know, there's a question. I'll say who I think is going to win is Auburn, but I'll propose this question because, like I said, a friend of mine, Mr. 1738 posed this question. Do you think, could this title game be better than the USC-Texas game in 06, the Rose Bowl game?
No. Reason being is, with USC and Texas, you had two legendary programs that never meet. I mean, never meet any type of games. I mean, never. Probably have met maybe once in a generational lifetime when they played. Auburn and Oregon, I think that because of Cam Newton, it gets a little bit extra. Outside of Cam Newton, it's not really like this is a great Auburn team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can name me, other than Cam Newton and Auburn's running back, somebody else on Auburn's offense.
No, just Cam Newton. That's all I know.
And
is
on
Cam
defense,
Newton.
Other than Dick Fairley.
Fairley, yeah.
I mean, it's probably another a couple of guys, but it's not really that great of a team compared to those USC and Texas teams. You can name all kind of people on those two teams.
That's true.
And on Oregon, I mean, the same thing's true. We love James, the running back. But I don't see no one ever say the quarterback's name, and he's just as good as Cam Newton.
You think so?
I mean, he has the ability to
do
Cam Newton, you know,
he's a better player but the similar makeup. The makeup is
the
about
makeup
the
makeup of the quarterback is pretty much
both spread quarterbacks.
On the spread.
Got you.
So I think with this Oregon team, I mean, this is a typical Oregon team that, you know what, when Dennis Dixon was there a few years ago with Jonathan Stewart and all those guys.
That was a way better talent.
That was a way better talented team.
It was.
But, I mean, right now, I mean, I think it's going to be a great game. I don't think it'll live up to that type of matchup, though.
Yeah. In terms of the game, I got Auburn winning the game. I think Auburn, to me, obviously is more battle-tested. I think they came from the SEC, which defenses are way better. I'm sorry. The talent is better. And the Pac-10, they don't play D. I don't know any defensive team in the Pac-10. I'm sorry.
See, I'm going the opposite way. I'm going with Oregon. The reason I was going with Oregon, Heisman Trophy winners have shown that when they play the national championship game, they play terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Smith played terrible when he played the national championship game. Reggie Bush didn't have a great of a game when he played.
No,
the
he didn't. No,
game.
He didn't.
Vince Young.
It wasn't able. Yeah,
I mean,
he got out.
You had to revoke that game. Vince Young beat Heisman Trophy winner. But that's the reason I'm going with Oregon. And I think on offensive side of the ball, Oregon has a lot of speed, almost similar to an SEC team.
They do have a lot of speed.
And on defense, they got just as many guys that can run after Cam Newton that Cam Newton saw in the SEC. So they have a team that's built similar to an SEC team as far as they got some big guys up front.
Yeah.
And they got speed around the team. So I'm gonna go with Oregon on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you.
But we about to wrap up our college football. We about to go to a commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk about a little bit of NBA action.
I'm Ed Smart, father of a child who was abducted.
I'm John Walsh. Like Ed, I also know the terror of having a child who was kidnapped. But now we have wonderful technology to aid in this battle.
It's called the Amber Alert. It's an early notification system to the public when every second counts.
Amber Alert is a partnership. We want to thank you, the public, broadcasters, transportation, and law enforcement. Amber Alert really works.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene, man. Me and Wally in here holding it down. Little brother Ray's out for the week. Will T, I don't know, he said he got his head in a book somewhere studying, trying to be a attorney general or
CIO
somewhere.
So he could be our
little Barack or Flock of Flame somewhere, I don't know.
Yeah, so he can put us on the map, man, be our agents, you know what I'm saying, do dual purpose, the agents and whatever.
Some good money, whatever. Man, we about to hop into that NBA action right now, man. The Wizards, a lot of news been with the Wizards lately about they trying to trade Andre Blatch. I mean, what do you think? I mean, you think they're going to get something for him or...
Well, I'm glad they're finally trying to trade Andre Blatch. They need to because he sucks. What could they get for him? I don't know what they can get for him. I'm just happy that they are taking the initiative to look out there and see what they can get for him and trade him. Word is they're going to trade him pretty soon. I think they can trade him to get a veteran player to put on the bench. I don't care. I think that the team can flow good without Andre Blatch. They got Rashard Lewis. They can put him at the four. They got Josh Howard. They can put him at the three.
Full of Andre Blatch.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Who plays smarter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they don't need Andre Blatch. I think it's good just to move him on. And I think it'll make the Wizards better down the road.
I think with Andre Blatch, it's almost like, he's not a guy who's going to command, as far as in a trade, a lot of value for. He's going to get you something. I think it's better off if they hold him to about close to the trading deadline. They probably get more then than now. But I mean, I don't think he's going to make this team any better than what they are now if they keep him. And they're not going to be even worse if they lose him. So if you can get anything for him, I say, you know, Get some picks for him. I mean,
yeah, if you can get a second round pick, get a second round pick.
Teams that want to get rid of their first round draft pick, you know, the Spurs, whoever. I mean, they're not going to draft anybody. I mean, try to build up some picks to me. Man. I mean, develop some talent or something. I mean, right now he's not going to be the face of the franchise. He never could act in the right position to even become the face of the franchise.
Hey, he parties too damn much.
And he's a typical NBA player right now who's pretty much, an underachiever as far as his ability. I mean, he has as much talent as anybody in the league, but he's never going to fulfill that. I mean, we talk about guys like, you know, the Lamar Odoms and Tim Thomases of the world. I mean, athletically, they're no one even should be able to compare to guys like this, but what they do on the NBA court is mediocrity when you really look at it, what they should be doing. So I say get rid of him. I mean, he's not going to help you get any better with them. Anyway, so, but the Wizards, they play the Sixers tomorrow night.
Well, hopefully, hopefully the Wizards win that game. They can get some morale. John Wall is back. He's playing decent ball. Nick Young has been playing a decent level. And, you know, JaVale McGee has played decent in a role. Now, he still tends to be a dumb basketball player taking shots that no one should ever take in life. But he's playing a good role. So,
he got dunked on the other game.
Oh, yeah, by Ariza. And then
his teammates were laughing at him.
That team is all jacked up. Flip Saunders, you need to be fired. But it's neither here nor there.
I think that situation and that play right there kind of solidifies the Wizards team.
They're mature.
Yeah.
They're very mature.
The fact that this dude, the guy gets dunked on and his team is just pretty much just laughing at him.
Yeah.
So, but
I mean, they're an immature team. They're a very immature team. And hopefully, like I said, they can bring in a leader, an older vet that can lead this team by example.
But we about to break down a couple of holiday games we didn't get a chance to talk about. We were doing a roundtable discussion. I know a game that you really wanted to talk about with the Lakers and Miami. Before we talk about them,
mm-hmm.
Boston and Orlando, I mean, game came down to the wire. Orlando was able to pull it out, but I mean, what you think about that game, bro?
I think, you know, it was a game that obviously Orlando needed more than Boston. That's how I think Boston played. Though Boston was up the most of the game anyway, and Orlando came back at the end. I think fourth quarter Orlando had like a hot fourth quarter, and Boston barely scored anything. Orlando they came to that fourth quarter basically desperate, like they wanted to be Boston bad. I think Boston, you know, like they always do. Every year since they won a championship, they tend to coast. And, you know, and that game was no different. They coast. Jameer Nelson started to get on fire, and he started making big buckets, and they end up winning that game.
I think what really helped Orlando in that game is you can see why they got rid of Vince Carter and Rashard Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the obvious reasons why they got rid of him. Because if they had him in that game, they wouldn't beat Boston. Because I mean, you saw what Arenas did. You saw what Turkey Glue did. You saw that more open looks J.J. Redick had. I mean, you can see the type of team that they're trying to put together in Orlando. I mean, they're going to shoot you to death. If they can make their threes and make their jumpers, they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
And I think you saw the type of, you know, they're not really afraid to shoot. And I think we're getting Arenas isn't really afraid to play against anybody. And that's the difference between him and with Rashard Lewis and with Vince Carter.
Yeah, and we think we talked about this a little bit on the roundtable discussion. I was saying that, you know, what's different about this Orlando team than other perimeter-oriented teams is that they have a big man that can score down low. A lot of these perimeter-oriented teams that we think of don't, like the Dallas Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki plays on the perimeter. Well, that's their big, supposedly, but he plays in the perimeter. They have Dwight, who plays down low, and everybody else plays on the perimeter. So they do have the best of both worlds if they decide to go down low. But they are based on a perimeter because they have a lot of shooters, which, like you said, Fish, if they got hot, they could beat anybody. I mean, you got Gilbert, Jameer Nelson, Turkoglu, Redick, and you know, they play Bass, who can make that knockdown, the in-between shot, and can knock down the in-between shot on a regular. So this team is dangerous. They're a dangerous team. That trade was important because they have added two real, not fake, real clutch players. Vince Carter was a phony clutch player. Turkoglu and Arenas are real clutch players. So that's helped them out tremendously. Gil.
But and the big game of the holiday was the Lakers versus Miami, right now you can just see Miami, they're flowing so well playing together. I mean, they're on like ridiculous road game winning streaks right now. I mean, it's just, for all that talk, boy, people were hating on them early in the season when they had that little short little losing streak. But right now it's like, it's not a lot of, it's probably very few teams that can run with them. The fact that, the matchup is just headaches for anybody that plays them. And they showed against the Lakers, it was like, you know what? Lakers defending champ. I mean, what you want? You saw what we can do.
First things first. The Lakers always play bad on Christmas Day. I'm going to be honest with you. LeBron came there, I think, last year and beat them too. So LeBron has always been good on Christmas Day himself. He's been good on Christmas Day himself, to put it that way. And he's going against Kobe. And, you know, it's just a good matchup. And in terms of, I'll put it like this. There's no, usually when Kobe plays like LeBron and D-Wade, and this is when they're on separate teams, he wouldn't check LeBron or D-Wade to the fourth quarter. He would check on this team, let's say Arroyo. He would check an Arroyo on this team. Now, playing that Miami team, he has to check D-Wade.
He got
to
check somebody.
Or LeBron. He has to. And you know what? And those two individuals have to check Kobe. And they played solid defense. There is never a break for Kobe Bryant. And that's the problem. And if Kobe can't get a break, that team is not going to be successful. And that's why the Heat match up well against the Lakers, and that's why they dominated that game. And also, to put back on that, Paul Gasol has went back to being Paul Gasol. And that's another big thing, too, as well.
With the Lakers losing that game, I mean, the Lakers are kind of struggling right now. Last night they lost to the Grizzlies, almost by a dub. What do you think is their main reason for struggling right now?
Yeah, their main reason, I said it just like a second ago, Paul Gasol is playing like a little, you know what, won't say it on air, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, he's playing like when Garnett did to him a couple years in the finals, when the Boston Celtics won the finals. He is just punk. He's just a punk in the post. He really is just like, he's getting pushed out the block. He's now playing back to just being purely skill, which is cool. It's cool to be skilled, but sometimes somebody's manning you up and shoving you out the block. You need to elbow back. That's why I teach my kids. You elbow back. We do that.
I think right now you can really see. I think the other day, Phil Jackson made a comment. Try to boost him up to get, you know, to stir him up a little bit to see, because that usually has an effect on him. Mm-hmm. I think right now with this legacy, they kind of starting to look a little old.
Yeah, all
like Kobe's starting to look a little like them, like just out of nowhere. You know, the car just turned off. I mean, Kobe's been in the league a long time. I mean, back when Brandy was in style. So I mean, he's been in the league like a while. I mean, and, you know, I think right now they're starting to show their age a little bit, and I think that I don't think they're going to break down all the way. I think right now they're going to go through this slump. But for a team like that, it's like, you know what, do what. Win however you can in the regular season, get to the playoffs, and then show what you can do.
But you know what?
Right now they looking old.
But see, the problem with that is, that's a good way of thinking, but the problem with that is the West is getting better. The West is better. San Antonio.
Boston can just coast.
And it's not like,
just get better.
It's not like last year's Western Conference. This Western Conference, this year is back to being like that real Western Conference. Like the Spurs are like that team right now. And you're speaking of Kobe, it's just interesting. You know, Phil Jackson had some choice words to say about Kobe Bryant during the loss against Memphis. He was basically saying that when they were getting their butts beat, he was saying, like, you know, it seemed like nobody was trying to step up, and now you got Kobe trying to be one-on-one, which that messes us up all the way anyway, because, you know, our players tend to watch when he's just being selfish. And he pretty much called Kobe Bryant selfish. Like, he fouled the game up last night. And, you know, trying to spark Kobe too. And just like he tried to spark, Paul Gasol, he tried to spark Kobe Bryant. This team is in disarray right now because certain players aren't stepping up. And that's why they're struggling right now.
Do you think they'll make a trade or anything like that?
I don't know. I think they should make some type of a deal. Not a blockbuster deal, but a deal. They made a deal already, not too long ago with Joe Smith. I think they should play Joe Smith a little bit more. They made that deal. They might as well play him. Cause these players, they are the Paul Gasols of the world. They need a break. They need some toughness down there. At least Joe Smith, you know, is a hard worker. Though he knocks out a mid-range shot, he is a hard worker though.
I think right now is they're missing those young guys they had a season or two ago. Those Ariza's. Ronnie Chernoff. I don't know how to say
Ronnie that. Turioff.
The brother with the bad heart. Tin Man. I think right now when you had those young guys come off the bench, that brought that extra energy for them. And I think right now they don't have that. Because right now, you know, I mean, they have a veteran squad. You know, the Odoms, the Fishers, and, you know, Kobe and all those guys.
Ron Artest.
But they need some type of energy that's coming off the bench. And I don't really see it right now. Because a lot of guys are pretty much, I mean, they're starting to get older. Like you said, they just made a trade for Joe Smith. But at the same time, do you want to play Joe Smith right now? I mean, I would get him some minutes, but I wouldn't try to make Joe Smith like a full-time in my rotation. Try to save him a little bit for the playoffs.
Exactly.
We need him
more. I hear you.
So, but at the same time, with them playing in the West, everyone pretty much runs in the West. It's not no, it is, there's no half-court games in the West. I can't even think of a team that doesn't run. It's very few teams that don't run in the West.
Man.
Everyone pretty much runs in the West. Somehow or some way is going to try to start up that fast break. So I think right now, I think eventually by trade deadline, they're going to try to trade to get somebody. It's not going to be anything major. They're not going to give up anything.
What they need is they need to get a quick guard, quick point guard to check some of these other quick point guards because Derek Fisher is got like his foot stuck in the sand when he's checking like the Westbrooks of the world or the
you saw what Westbrook did to him last year.
Yeah, or the Chris Pauls.
When
you know
Williams
what I mean? Chris
did to him and the same thing with Chris Paul. They need
and Tony Parker. Tony Parker, yeah.
He can't stay young forever. I mean he's been playing since the Shaq years and the
I know
the Kurt Rambis was a coach.
I know he was, yes.
So I mean he's been in the league a while, but
he's Nick Van Exel's backup.
But speaking of other teams that's been affected by that we're gonna get in the West a little bit. Butler, man, I mean he's out for the season for the Mavs. How do you think he's going to affect that team, though?
Oh, it's going to affect them a lot. Sean Murray has to step up now. He's going to have to be in the starting lineup, but he's going to have to step up. Butler was starting to play good ball. I remember in the beginning of the season, some fans were a little upset at his play, but he started turning it on. Yeah, Butler is going to be missed big time. That trade, when they got Butler, that's what put him over the top to being a contender for real in the Western Conference to win it all. Not having Butler puts him back down a notch. Honestly,
I think they go back to mediocrity with him going. It's pretty much that same Mavericks team that we've seen in the past. Yeah, they're going to run and put up a little bit of points, but at the same time, they don't have that one tough guy on their team that's going to, you know, stand up in somebody's face.
Yeah, they don't got tough juice.
Yeah.
They don't got tough juice.
But on the backside of, on the east side of things, as far as, I mean, affecting by injuries, Garnett's hurt. He's not as long as Butler is for the Mavs, but he's going to miss the next couple of weeks. I don't really see it having a huge effect on Boston because they're so deep with big men that, you know, and also playing in the East is not really going to affect them. And like I said earlier, I mean, Boston, I mean, to me, they should just take a break for the regular season and really play for the playoffs. Forget regular season all-star games and points or whatever milestones. I mean, you're a veteran team. Y'all are built for the playoffs. And I mean, I really wouldn't care less what we did as long as we get to the playoffs and play. And I don't think they're going to miss him too much, but hopefully Garnett will be able to bounce back from the injury.
Yeah, like you said, like it's not a big thing for Boston. They're deep on bigs, period. That's what it is. They got Shaq. I mean, he's a center, but they have Jermaine O'Neal. They have Big Baby Davis. So I mean, it's not.
And they haven't even got Perkins.
They have Perkins yet. So I mean, it's not big. You know what I mean? They don't like getting home court advantage for them isn't a big deal. Like, they can go in the playoffs being a 3 or 4 seed, honestly, and not even worry about anything. They don't have to be the number one seed. Though it's good for them. It's obviously good to be a number one seed, period. But they can go to your court and beat you. You know what I mean? They weren't the number one seed last year. And they start, and they still got to the finals.
The only team I think they really worry about is Miami, and they know they can beat Miami and Miami. So it's not yet, like you were saying, it's not really that big of a deal where they play at. I mean, because in a seven-game series, we're only talking only one team has a home court advantage. That's one game. I mean, maybe the way they set it up by back-to-back nights, but, I mean, Boston pretty much can go anywhere and beat anybody any given night. But, man, we about to go hard in the paint right now for little brother Ray. He's not here, so rock a flock of flame.
Let me turn that thing up real quick. Let me lower it just a little bit. All right, here we go. Here we go. Matter of fact, last time we did the Hard in the Paint segment, I chose Nick Young. Nick Young averaged 18 points since we met, including a 25-point effort against Danny Granger and the Pacers on December 29th, 2010, the old year, at the Verizon Center. This week I'm choosing former Northwestern alum high school player Jeff Green. He averages 16 points this season, which is better than his career average, which was 14. Ray, matter of fact, has chose Zach Randolph for this week, and Will Lechek has selected Antoine Jamison. Antoine Jamison is now starting, and since a lot of players are hurt, he is the number one option on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I don't even know why y'all even make me pick people.
You need to pick one.
I don't, until football season over.
You picked a good one last time. I can't remember who you picked.
I don't even know. Is he light skinned?
It was a light skinned dude. It was somebody actually good. It was a good pick. I thought about it. I was like, yeah, that was a good one. Now I can't think of it.
I think it was Bosch.
Chris Bosch. And that was a good pick.
It
was a good pick because he's not the star player on the team. So it was a good pick.
Man, I like picking coaches because I can't wait for Pat Riley to eventually become coach.
But he's not going to. They're playing well.
But this week, I'm gonna pick a dude who's probably not even gonna score on the court, but he's been scoring off the court. It's Chris Humphries from the New Jersey Nets.
Kim Kardashian.
Because he's been dating Kim Kardashian.
Is he still dating her?
He has a publicist to boost himself up for dating Kim Kardashian. So that's who I'm picking.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Hey, he's trying to get. Hey, he's probably have a show spinoff right now. So
I guess he's going hard in that paint for real. He's going hard.
And Kim Kardashian doesn't like the brothers anymore.
I know.
She's switching sports to just basketball, so.
I don't know.
She wants to be a basketball wife.
I guess
she's working on other shows right now, but I'm going Chris Humphries. He's going to go hard in the paint for me.
I like that one.
He's going to at least go off the court with Kim Kardashian, but.
He's been on all right, too.
Man, well, let these folks know how to reach us.
Show. You can reach us at listen to our info at www.walio.podbeam.com. Email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Search us on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. And also, you can catch on this Thursday night, you can catch me and Ray 9 p.m. Eastern time on the Sports Crib. Check this link out, www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller fan. Also, you can check Fish and Will out 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays on Apple G's. Just check it out. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS.
And you can reach me on Twitter. I don't know how I got a Twitter.
I know. I saw that. UMD Fish. Urban UMD Fish or something like that, right?
Urban Fish MD.
There you go.
I was bored of getting some Pizza Hut for my pregnant wife, and I was like, man, I got like 20 minutes to kill. I can do with this BlackBerry. So, but you can reach me at Urban Fish at MD Twitter. I don't even know how it goes.
Yeah, and also.
I won't even respond, but it's okay.
And we can give him an update on this game real quick. Ohio State's up 21-7 against Arkansas. So. And I think, as a matter of fact, Terrell Pryor's having an awesome game. I guess he's trying to showcase something. He goes in the draft.
Free tattoos. Who knows?
Hey, maybe he wants to just, test that draft out for real.
But that wraps up another episode of Urban Sports Scene. Little brother Ray, little brother Will, hear him get back. On behalf of me and Wally, man, we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, catch y'all. You know what I'm saying? Boys and girls, Greenbelt Saturday, championship. Y'all know what I'm talking about. 60 stacks of money.